Last week, we started a new series for the new year, focusing some time on prayer last fall. We really wanted to zero in on the issue of worship and the series of worship, of learning the language of heaven. I introduced that last week, and I gave credit where credit was due that I didn't come up with that title. Years ago, I heard one of my mentors preach a series on worship, and as I said last week, I couldn't remember the specific details of each week's message. I just remember being hit by that idea that, you know, that worship is one of the only things we're going to continue to do for eternity, because we're in God's presence, giving Him the praise and the glory that He's deserving of. So learning the language of heaven is, while we're on this side of eternity, learning to live a life of worship and really moving beyond some of the things that we sometimes narrow the focus of worship. We kind of get it mixed up with someplace you go. Well, I go to a church building for an hour a week and that's worship. It can be. If we go to worship, not a place, but a go with a desire to actually worship God collectively as we come in His presence. Sometimes we equate worship with the music, and while music is a central part of the worship experience throughout history, the history of the church and God's people, worship is bigger than the music. Today we're going to be continuing in this series, and it's my prayer for all of us is that we not only expand our understanding of what worship is, but that we grow individually and grow corporately as a body in how we focus our lives and living a life of worship to God our Creator and to Christ our Savior. Last week we looked at the issue of approaching the throne of grace. And we had those images from Scripture that gave these pictures of God and His glory and His power. And it always, from Isaiah 6, we see the question that is raised is, well, who can stand in God's presence? When you really see Him for His greatness, and that picture of God on the throne reminds us of God's greatness and His power, the question is asked, well, who can stand in His presence? And if we're going to worship Him, how can we worship a God whose presence we can't even stand in the midst of? And the answer to that was looking into Hebrews and the invitation to approach the throne of grace with confidence. Not based on what we have done, but because of Christ, our great high priest, and what He has done for us. As Christians, we put our faith and trust in Christ and what He did on the cross, in His death, and in His resurrection, that we can come and stand in God's presence, not because we deserve it, but because of the grace of God and the forgiveness that we find in Christ. Today we're going to be transitioning to another aspect of worship, is just recognizing that part of our worship is recognizing God as our Creator. And understanding that the idea of God being Creator as being one who is deserving of praise and deserving of worship. To start into this today, I want to encourage you to think with me for a moment. Have you ever had a moment where you're admiring the work of an artist? Whether that be a chef, or whether that be a painting, when you're standing in the presence of the artist and you make a statement of praise of the art, where is the praise directed? It's directed to the artist. This week, I didn't warn her of this, but I didn't have a chance to warn Eric or Vicky, but this week I was seeing all the pictures they were posting of the work they've done in their new house. Vicky, you have a gift. It's beautiful what you've done there. And I mean, if I were to walk through and I'm just looking at those pictures, I'm like, you know, I'm not declaring, well, that's just an incredible floor, that's an incredible wall, and that's an incredible whatever. It's when you're recognizing the beauty of the art, the beauty of the design or what you see, you're giving that praise, you're giving that way to go to the artist. Over the years, I've done that with my father. One of my most treasured possessions is my desk at home that my father made with wood from my uncle's property. The tree was cut down, milled, prepared. I mean, my dad built the tree, He didn't build the tree. He took the tree, and I have a desk at home, a nice chair, beautiful cherry desk, that when I work on it, I think of my father. and I see the beauty in his art, which was woodworking. You know, part, and when we look through the scriptures, part of giving God, our creator, the praise that he is due is recognizing God as the artist. God is the one who is behind all of creation and worthy of our praise. And so we're going to start by focusing on that theme of that part of our being created to worship is coming to that place where we're giving honor and praise to the creator. In Romans 1, 20 through 23, this is part of a larger theological argument that Paul is making, and he's explaining how no one is without excuse before God because of what they can see plainly in creation, and that we're all without excuse of coming to God and giving him the praise and the worth that he's due. Verse 20 says, "For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made, so they are without excuse. For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for the images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creeping things." In a few weeks, towards the end of the series, when we deal with idolatry, we're going to come back to this passage, because at the heart of idolatry is taking something from that God has created and lifting it up above and putting in God's place in our lives. But I want you to focus on the key theme in this passage of what would have been expected. The expected behavior from God's creation would be to honor God and recognize God of deserving of praise. Really what we see in this passage is it's Paul's description of the fall of man. You could take this and look at Rome. Look, I'm having some trouble today. Take this and look at Genesis 1 through 3 and the fall. You see Paul is explaining at the heart what is at the heart of the fall of man and walking away from God. And at the core of what Paul describes here, at the root of man's sin, is a failure to value God, our creator, above all things. It's a failure to value God above all things and to give him the honor and the praise that he deserves. When we put anything above God, our creator, when we value anything above God, who gave us the very gift of life, it leads us to a place of idolatry, which, we're going to get to in weeks to come. But at the core, these verses remind us that at the core of who we are as ones who have been created by God, who live, and everything we experience in this life has been created by God, the only reasonable response when we see God's creation is to honor him, to give him praise, to give praise and honor to God, our creator, the great artist. You know, there's different ways we can do that, and I find as we cultivate a heart for giving God, our creator, praise, one of the things I have found is to pause and get out into the world, into God's creation, but there's different lenses you can put on in looking at God's creation that I think help us understand this even to a greater degree. One, you can look at the greatness in God's creation, or the bigness of God's creation. Those moments where you're standing on the edge of the Grand Canyon, or standing by the power of Niagara Falls, or whatever that image is, that you just see the immense power in front of you that is part of God's creation. Or when you stare at a good evening sky without clouds and you see all the stars and see the beauty of the sky, the heavens. There's an aspect of looking at the bigness of God's creation, the greatness of God's creation, that leads us to a place of giving praise to God, our creator, the artist behind it all. There's also a way of not only looking big, but also looking small. Sometimes it's getting the leaf off the tree and looking at the intricate details on the back of a leaf. It's looking at the details and understanding how the human body works. I'm always amazed when I talk to people in the medical community of just how intricately we're designed the smallest, most minute details that seem not that important, that are critical to us experiencing life as God created us to experience it. We see the detail under the microscope and see the beauty in that detail and the small details of life. So whether you look big or whether you look small at God's creation, we're reminded that God is worthy of our praise. And so part of us being created to worship and choosing to worship our Creator is recognizing God as Creator and that we're going to honor Him. We're going to give Him praise for what He has done. One of the themes that was picked up in some of the songs that we sang this morning too, though, is that when we choose to embrace our place in creation and honor our Creator, we're joining with all of creation in that work. We're joining with all of creation in giving praise to God our Creator. Isaiah 44:23 says, "Sing, O heavens, for the Lord has done it. Shout, O depths of the earth. Break forth into singing, O mountains, O forest, and every tree in it. For the Lord has redeemed Jacob and will be glorified in Israel." One of the many places where specifically in the context here, it's talking about God's redemption of His people Israel. But you see these images of the mountains, the depths of the earth, the forest, giving praise to God. In a few months on Palm Sunday, we'll be reading from Luke 19, most likely. And you remember when Jesus enters in and the people are declaring His praise, you remember the response. If I look at Luke 19, verses 37 and following, it says, "As He was drawing near," picture Jesus drawing near on the donkey, and the people were gathered with their palm branches. "As He was drawing near, already on the way down to the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, 'Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest.' And some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Him, 'Teacher, rebuke your disciples.'" And Jesus' response, which is on the screen, Jesus answered, I tell you, if these were silent, the very stones would cry out." There's a picture in this if the disciples didn't declare who Jesus was and declare praise of Jesus, even the very stones would have cried out praise to God. Psalm 150, verse 6, if you read the whole Psalm 150, it's a great argument for bringing every form of instrument in praise to God. But it ends with this verse, a common phrase, common verse that we often speak of, but speaks to this idea of joining, that when we worship God our Creator, we're joining with all of creation. Psalm 156 says, "Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord." Praise the Lord. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. All of creation. The only response in recognizing us as we are created and God is the Creator, the only response of the creation is to give praise to the Creator. And we join together in singing that praise. It seems like songwriters have understood this a little better than some theologians and sometimes in our own lives. And the hymn I kept singing this morning, I'm thinking I should have probably picked this one. But the hymn, "All Creatures of Our God and King," I'd like to read some of those lines. It says, "All creatures of our God and King, lift up your voice and with us sing, oh praise Him, alleluia. Thou burning sun with golden beam, thou silver moon with softer gleam, O praise Him, O praise Him. Thou rushing wind that art so strong, ye clouds that sail in heaven along, O praise Him. Thou rising moon in praise rejoice, ye lights of heaven find a voice, O praise Him, alleluia, alleluia. Let all things their Creator bless and worship Him in humbleness, O praise Him. Hallelujah." You know, one of the things that stands out when you look at Israel and look at how God is revealed in our scriptures compared to many of the cultures that were around them and what they worshiped, what they chose to worship, is in worshiping false gods, they were worshiping not the one who created, but they were worshiping the things that were created. So they'd look at the storm and they'd worship the storm. They'd look at the sun and they'd worship the sun. Whatever the power, the thing that they saw in creation, and instead of recognizing that there was a God and creator behind that incredible thing, they would worship the very thing that God had actually created. That's the power of Psalm 121. I lift my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come from? It's not the mountains. It's not the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the maker of heaven and earth. God invites us to join with all of creation in giving him the praise that he is deserving of. You know, when we think about the idea of creation, though, there's the aspect of looking at God's creation and looking at around us, but we also, there's an aspect of looking internally and recognizing that the very breath of life that we take for granted is a gift from God. And also understanding the scriptures not only speak to us as being created by God in the need to be giving praise to God, our creator, but man is given, men and women are given a very unique role in God's creation. There's a value and a dignity in who God has created us to be. And recognizing the uniqueness of who we are in God's creation leads us to that place that we should, rather than getting caught up and saying, oh yeah, we're really great, and live our lives for ourselves. When we see the beauty of creation and how God has gifted us and how God has made us unique from everything else in creation, it should lead us to a place of wanting to give God praise for the very gift of life. Our call to worship this morning was Psalm 8. And it starts with, O Lord, O Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. So the whole psalm is kind of giving us an order of creation. God, the creator, is above all. He's majestic. He's lifted up. But then throughout the passage, it speaks to the specific creation of mankind. And that God has made mankind unique and valuable. Says in verse 3, it says, when I look at your heavens and work the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you care for him? I mean, that's the response when you're standing next to the Grand Canyon, when you're standing next to Niagara Falls, or something that you see the bigness in creation. You're like, look, I fall off the ledge here and disappear into the waters of the Niagara Falls. What's going to be missed in that moment? Because we look at the greatness, the bigness of creation, and we think we're so small and insignificant, and yet that's not what God teaches us. Every one of us is God's creation, God's special creation. That question of what is man that you are mindful of him and the son of man that you care for him, God answers in the next verses. He says, yet you have made him a little lower than the heavenly beings and crowned him with glory and honor. You have given him dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen and all the beasts of the field, the birds of the heavens and the fish of the seas, whatever passes along the paths of the seas. He's basically saying, look, you've put man in a place where he is supposed to be a steward and overseeing all of God's creation. He's lifted up above every other part of God's creation and given a special place. So God is majestic above all, but man has been given a special place in his creation. But at the heart of that is recognizing that truth and then giving back God the praise for the gift of life that he has given us. Years ago, quite a few years ago, I can still remember Bryce's one of his ultrasounds, probably about the 3 or 4 month mark. I remember standing, and we had decided we didn't want to know, or we were okay knowing if Bryce was a boy or a girl, but the ultrasound tech was being real careful because she didn't want us to know if we didn't want to know. And anyway, I wouldn't have figured it out anyways. I can't read those things very well. But she explained that Bryce was being a bit of an exhibitionist, so she was kept moving things around. But, you know, I remember as she's doing the ultrasound and she's moving things around, and I'm seeing my firstborn, not yet born. She's describing that at the stage of development that Bryce was starting to change how it was receiving its nutrients. And she's explaining this, and it was just fascinating. And I remember her saying, well, it's amazing that it knows how to do that. And I can think of a handful of times in my life that scripture just automatically flowed out of my mouth. And I just said, well, we're fearfully and wonderfully made. In that moment, I was seeing a picture of not only God's beauty in creation and the gift of life, seeing my soon-to-be firstborn son, but to understand the detail of the development of this child before he is born is part of God's fearfully and wonderfully making this child, and the whole process of birth and development points to the design and the intelligence in creation, and that God has a hand in this, and he has a plan and a purpose. Psalm 139, verses 13 through 14, the words that I quoted there standing in front of the ultrasound, says, "For you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well." Two things here. If you're here today and you don't think your life has value, and you don't think your life has purpose, I want you to hear these words at a deep level, that you are fearfully and wonderfully made. God has a plan and a purpose for you. He gave you the gift of life. He knows you. He loves you. He cares for you. But we also, when we recognize who God is and that he cares for us and understand that our dignity is being a special, unique creation from God, that we're fearfully and wonderfully made, the only response, the only appropriate response is to give God praise for the gift of life. To live a life in giving praise to God and thanking him for the very gift of life that he has blessed us with. So today, as we kind of wrap up and before the musicians come, I want to just real quickly review each of these aspects. And there's probably more we could have thought of today. There's a lot of other scriptures that speak to these truths. But even as you're in your own prayer time, in your own time getting into God's Word, grow in your understanding of what it means to be worshiping God, your Creator. When you read the scriptures, and you see a scripture that's pointing to God, our Creator, or the gift of life, and how deserving and how much he is worthy of our praise, make a note of that and take a moment to just give God praise for who he is. But today, we've been reminded through God's Word that part of recognizing our place in God's world and in his created world, in choosing to give God, our Creator, praise, is it's choosing first to give honor and praise to God, our Creator. We're choosing to give honor and praise to our Creator. But we're also, when we do that, we're joining with all of creation in praise. And on a personal level, we can look at the gift of life and recognize that we are fearfully and wonderfully made, and that we can choose to praise God for the gift of life. Not generically, but the gift of my life. God, thank you for the breath of life. Thank you for the gift of life. When we gather and worship, or when you get up in the morning and open up God's Word and have your time of prayer and worship, personal time of prayer and worship, are you taking time to give honor and praise to your Creator, to join with all of creation in giving praise to God the Creator and praising God for the very gift of life that day? Some practical tips I'd give you, if you're like me, I can still remember years ago when I started doing prayer retreats. I'd gone to a monastery in Greensburg, PA, and it did not work for me. Like, it just did not. They were wonderful people. They were great. They were very hospitable. But it just did not work for me. It was from that point on, I said, no, I need a cabin in the woods if I'm going to have a prayer retreat. Because for me, getting out in creation, it's probably one of the reasons I love fly fishing, is it's not only restoring in the sense that I can turn off all the noise in my head and just be on the water, but it's a way of getting out in God's creation and being reminded that he is worthy of our praise. Think about ways you can add time into your life where you're getting out into creation. Jim, some days I know you have a stressful job, but there are days I envy you being out in the woods. We have to be intentional to make sure that we're taking time to connect with the creation and understand that everything we can enjoy in this world around us is a blessing from our Creator. And let us remember the call to come to God in praise to Him. And I just want to leave with one final scripture before we go to prayer. Psalm 95, 6 through 7 says, O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture, the sheep of His hand. It goes on to the next verse. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. Will you pray with me? Lord, we thank you for the gift of life. We thank you for just the beauty, the power, the greatness we see in your creation. Lord, we give you praise for, Lord, just being an incredible artist. Lord, so many things that we take for granted that we walk throughout this world and we sometimes have blinders on and we fail to just pause and see the beauty of your creation. Lord, help us to have eyes to see. And help us in those moments to just pause and give you praise. But Lord, I pray that personally that we would choose to join with all of creation. Lord, not only to give you praise for the creation that we see around you, but to recognize that the very breath of life that you've given us, Lord, the only response is to lay down our lives to you as our Creator and give you thanks. Lord, as we reflect on last week's message, we're reminded that as we come to worship you, our Creator, that the only way we can stand in your presence is by putting our faith and trust in Jesus and what he has done on the cross and in his resurrection for each one of us. Lord, we just come in this moment and just pray that we would truly honor you, our Creator, that we would honor you, our Savior. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.